Hi, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Beauty and the Brain, the podcast where we discuss all things aesthetics. I'm your co-host, Dr. Chris Crowley.
And I'm Jerry Drinkard, family nurse practitioner. Together, Chris and I own Skin & Tonic, a med spa that's located here in Pace, Florida. And today we're joined by our other nurse practitioner and co-host of Beauty and the Brain, Miss Allie Ballou.
Happy to be back.
And we're talking about one of Allie's very favorite topics, which is sun.
The sun. I love the sun. I love the summertime. It's my favorite season. However, it's not always my skin's favorite season, nor is it our client's skin's favorite season. So a lot of times I feel like, you know, we have our fun in the summer and then we reap the repercussions in the fall and have to reverse a lot that we've done.
Yeah, it's kind of a job security for us.
I know. I mean, I think we all love it to some degree. I can remember when we first met years ago. I don't know if we can find any of those old pictures that Sierra can put on the YouTube channel.
I'm sure.
But I love to be like a mocha color. And so I wanted to like go get a spray tan and get in the tanning bed and then maybe even go to a second tanning bed in the same day.
Yeah.
So I could get in. And then I thought, I'll just laser it off if there's damage later.
I got off the, I met Chris. He came to the airport to pick me up in Chicago. And I remember when I saw him, I was like on the escalator and I was like, holy shit, what color is he? He was dark. It took some effort.
Yeah.
It wasn't just a like I'm walking in the park getting a little sun.
And now I really don't do anything for tan. And people ask me
and you stay dark.
If I'm tan, but I think it's just from like walking around. I really do very minimal now.
You're just very outdoorsy.
Yeah. Very active.
Yeah.
Work on the farm a lot.
Yeah. Farmer's tan.
That's probably where it comes from, honestly, is like all your outdoor work. It's my guess.
It's got to be it. Uh-huh.
You know me so well. Well, it's an interesting topic today. We're talking about sunburn, sunscreens, and obviously we're opening up with how much we love the sun. But in our industry, in this business, we see lots of damage from it.
In our state, we live in the sunshine state.
In the sunshine state. But also, like, we see a lot of people trying to reverse some of that damage for cosmetic purposes. So some of the things we see with the skin. Definitely, we see the leathery skin, the creepy skin, all the uneven pigmentation. We're not a dermatology practice, so we're only seeing a fraction of those cases, and we're referring some that have actual skin cancers and from prolonged UV exposure. And what we do know is that there's plenty of studies to show this, but you and I, from doing this now a long time, longer than we'd like to admit sometimes, that there's no amount of laser and biostimulants and injectables that we can do when people continue to go and expose themselves to the sun to reverse that. People get the best results. The ones that we see the most beautiful glowing skin are the ones who are really aggressive with sun protection.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think that what we see now is a small part of the population, though, that is what we see in here. And it's people that are aware and people that get continuous education, because I hope that every visit we're talking about, whether they see myself, Allie, the aestheticians, I hope we're talking about skincare, skin protection, sun protection rather. But that's a really small percentage of the population that's out there. So I think a lot of people don't have the knowledge and don't understand the repercussions of continued sun exposure, even if it's not like actually laying in a sunbed or laying in a tan bed or going and actively laying out on the beach. I don't think people realize just the day-to-day exposure and how much damage can be caused. We see it like the left side of people's face is often more sun damaged than the right, and that's simply from driving. And so that tells you just the how much a limited exposure to sun can cause damage.
So we're at that time of year now, right? It's beach season. We're all starting to...
You have a weird smile. What are you about to say?
I know. I'm going to ask Allie about her regimen before she goes. Do you have a regimen, a pre-tan? Do you get a base tan? Does that base tan help keep you from burning? Tell us all your secrets.
I like to think so. I'm not recommending that. But yeah, I mean, I think a base tan helps. I mean, I do as I say, not as I do, like to my clients, I guess. But like, I like to get a little bit of sun before I put the sunscreen on. But my recommendation to you is to put it on 30 minutes before getting out in the sun.
I'm thinking about even before that, like the week before, do you...
Oh.
Go like a little bit to the tanning bed to get those melanocytes kicking.
I did recently go a handful of times prior to our cruise so that I wouldn't burn. And I didn't burn.
And other prep work that you did.
Melanotan.
You're like, don't call it all my secrets on this podcast. God, just calling her out.
My clients are
But she also
like,
has like good tan genetics, if you've seen Rhonda. Like, they're Indian.
Yeah.
Like, so they have Indian, so they tan easily.
Yeah.
I mean, I love not just the way that I look, but the way that I feel. And for years, I would go to the tanning bed before I would go anywhere for sun, especially the first time, because I did think it helped. But do you know what the research actually shows that pre-tan effect is? Like, in terms of, let's compare it to an SPF.
Oh, not good.
I wouldn't.
Maybe like a 3. So yes, maybe a little bit it will protect, but it's not enough to really be meaningful. And then the harms from the indoor tanning, the risk of melanoma and skin cancers, the photo damage, UV damage is higher than the little benefit that we get from it.
I am better than I used to be. Like, when I was still in college, we were going to this like Oasis tan place in Tuscaloosa, and we would go there because those beds would actually burn you. And they would say, do you want to get in a reddening bed or a bronzing bed? And like, the red beds were supposed to like build your base. And then the bronzing was like after you had your base and like to develop your brown color. And we would be fried out of there. But I'd never gotten a spray tan until I was in college probably. And so I am better like now, especially like in the winter time. Like, if I'm like super pasty pale, like I'm not gonna go to the tanning bed for months on end to get color for a wedding that I'm in. I'm going to just go get a spray tan.
It's really interesting though, like culturally how that's seen. And, you know, there are certain cultures that will see a tan as not a good thing. They want lighter skin. I can tell you, for as long as I can remember, like, I've wanted tan skin and thought it was absolutely beautiful. You know, I'm old enough now, hopefully they won't report my mom to, like, you know, Child Protective Services, right? Because I'm 52. But I can remember being in high school and having a tanning bed in our living room.
Mm-hmm.
And I can remember my mom saying, like, go get the tanning bed before you go to the prom.
Yeah.
And so we would just go. There was not, I don't even know that we worried about eye protection. Like, I didn't lay there with my eyes open. But I think we would just go get in the tanning bed and turn it on. And you just laid under the tanning bed, close your eyes. And we just lay in the tanning bed in the living room, in our formal living room in the house, not the den where y'all hung out. So it's crazy to think about the education, the awareness, and how that's changed. But also, I think, you know, we look at certain parts of the U.S. and certain cultures, they really want to be light, and they're very aggressive with sun protection and covering up their skin. And then there's parts, and then definitely in the region and the area that we live, a lot of people love that tan.
Yeah. My Nana had a tanning bed upstairs. I would always go get in before the prom, and that was so nice. But we would, oh God, to be fair, the bulbs were probably a lot weaker than they are now. And I don't think she ever got like new bulbs at any time since she'd had it. But I mean, we would do 20 minutes on our back and 20 minutes on our stomachs. And now, like, you go to Palm Beach and like they're like, you have 6 minutes and you're out.
The first one I ever went to was it was a one-sided tanning bed. And so, like, you had to flip.
But you've mentioned before that you like going because of the way it makes you feel.
It really makes me feel better. I think seasonal affective disorder for me is like a for real thing.
But do you think that that's the light, the heat, because have you ever tried one of the red light beds? So if we look at red light for being like collagen producing and protective and beneficial.
Yeah.
And Palm Beach Tan has those now.
Right, that's what I'm saying. A lot of those indoor are doing more wellness related. And have either of you?
I haven't, but I would for sure be willing to try for other reasons.
I mean, I got in a bed actually before I on the cruise a few months ago that was, the bottom part was a tanning bed and what was on your face was red light therapy. So I was like, this is better.
Did it feel similar or no?
Yeah, I felt similar. But I also think it could just be that when we're tan, we find ourselves more attractive. And when we feel better about ourselves, we're happier in general too. But I need like the vitamin D, like the outside sun to like make me happy. Like, I can feel it coming on like right before time changes. I'm like, ooh, I'm about to be down for the count. And then time changes and I'm back happy again.
We can talk about the fun parts of it. And then we all like it clearly. And then do you feel the same? So you just said the vitamin D and you need the sunshine. So if we love the way we look with a tan, then why don't we just get spray tans, which are healthier alternatives than some of the actual UV exposure? Why do you not like a spray tan?
I don't dislike a spray tan. I think I like the way that I look, but it does make me feel different to have like real sun, because I spray tan like my face probably every 2 or 3 weeks during the winter just because I get such a weird shade of red.
I hate the way a spray tan smells. And I don't even like it when you get a spray tan because I can smell it.
That's a man thing.
And I've tried a million different versions. Everybody's like,
oh, Chris will say something to me 2 days after I've had a spray tan. Like we can be going to sleep at night and he was like, when did you spray?
Channing just thinks I'm gonna self tan. And he'll be like, did you tan? You smell weird. And I'm like, no, I didn't. And I'm like, I'm just this color right now. And he's like, I just figured you would since you're about to go on a trip. And I'm like, so you can just like smell it in your head? He's like, yeah.
I'm like really aware of that smell and I can't stand it if I can.
So you're hypersensitive to smells.
Certain smells, it's not everyone, but certain ones.
Like if I cook crab cakes and you come home the next day, you fuss about like the smell.
Yeah.
He does, like, or if I cook broccoli or anything like that, like, not the day of him being home, but, like, even 2 days before. But I got a really nice outdoor kitchen because of it, because he made it where I can cook outside.
So we talk about how much we like being tan. We know there's alternatives like the spray tans, and maybe some people don't like it because of some of the limitations of things like the smell. And in reality, we know that in a lot of parts of the U.S. at this time of year especially, people are going to start enjoying the outdoors and the beach. So what are some healthy ways that they can enjoy that sunshine, get out and feel good by being outdoors and participating in healthy activities, but maybe mitigate or minimize some of that UV damage?
I think be mindful of sunscreen reapplication. I think it's easy for all of us to say like, oh, hey, we're going for an outdoor activity. We're going to the beach. We know we need to put on sunscreen before we leave or when we get there. And then not reapplying or getting in the water and not reapplying too. I'm guilty of that. Most sunscreen is effective for 2 hours or 40 minutes with water, or is water resistant for 40 minutes. So I think I'm guilty of that probably. That's where a lot of my sun probably comes from, is from getting in the water and then not immediately reapplying after drying off. And forgetting areas too, like my hairline, my part will get burnt if I do not wear a hat. And I am pretty good about wearing a hat. I think that's another good tip, especially for our skincare patients, is wearing a hat and having that extra protection. But then also being aware that a hat doesn't mean no sunscreen, because we oftentimes forget our sand is so beautiful and white here that the reflection from the sand can get underneath your hat. And so just because you're under an umbrella or you have a hat on, doesn't mean you don't need to wear sunscreen.
Yeah, I think people forget about that reflective a lot, right? So it's the sand, the concrete, the water. Any of those things can reflect sun back up on us.
Like, that's part of the reason people burn so bad at the beach, is because of the reflective, like, especially here we have like super white sand that's very reflective, the water here.
Or think about even like snow skiing. People will burn because of that reflection from the snow, and it's cold there, so it's that UV.
I was a little surprised at the sun, like skin cancer rates based on like geography. And so Florida ranks number 2 in the states for...
Who's number 1? California?
Hawaii.
Louisiana? Oh, Hawaii. Duh.
It'd be interesting to see if it's because of like the military presence there, because you wouldn't think the Hawaiians would burn as likely because of their skin. So Latinos and Hispanics, dark skin, only make up 4% of the melanomas diagnosed in the U.S. Black people make up 1%. And I would think that Hawaiians would fall somewhere in that Latino range. So it makes you wonder if Hawaii is because of like military presence.
You're talking about the melanin presence in their skin,
right? Yeah,
right, from the,
yeah, it doesn't have anything to do being in the military. I just know that
saying like in terms of the Fitzpatrick, the melanin and the skin, because we have obviously that mix is probably has a lot of influence from the South Pacific. And so there's going to be some Asian mix in there. So you're not...
Yeah, you have like Fitz 3s, 4.
Correct. You're just saying the darker skin type like protects them, yeah.
But like to Sierra, talking about Utah, like there's a lot of outdoor activity. It's not as hot a lot of times, even when they are outdoors. So when people aren't hot, they don't tend to think about sunscreen as often. And so there are a lot of outdoor activities and hiking and that sort of thing. So the skin cancer rate in the Midwest is really high.
And that's a good point, because, you know, a lot of times when it's overcast at the beach and we don't feel super hot and our skin doesn't feel super tight and we don't feel super dehydrated, we're like, you kind of forget to put on sunscreen because you don't feel it on you. And then you go all day and you feel fine, but you actually can get more sun sometimes on cloudy days because you're not as aware of your sunscreen reapplication.
So do you like mineral-based or chemical-based sunscreens?
I don't really have a preference, to be honest with you. I do use reef-safe sunscreen. That is important to me. My skin, not important. The fish, very important.
This is off subject a little bit, but on subject, but off. But did you know that we had a powder sunscreen here?
No.
So we had Color Science years ago that we loved, and Zio has a powder mineral sunscreen.
With different tints.
That's a new thing though, right?
Oh, like a year ago, maybe?
Oh, no, yeah. I'm just behind.
Yeah, I really kind of forgot about it too.
It's like, people love it. And it gives you a little color. It's easy to apply. And
Allie introduced me to one recently that I like. I don't remember the name though. It's the spray.
Oh, the spray. It's a Sunbum.
Sunbum. Yeah, I like it. It's a spray bottle that you can, it's travel compliant. Because a lot of times I'll forget with traveling and I don't buy it wherever I'm going. Yeah.
The little yellow spray. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I like the powder's nice for girls who have on like makeup. Like my friends, a lot of my friends have either the Zio powder sunscreen or the Color Science. Because when you have on makeup, you don't always want to put, like, you're not going to rub sunscreen on top of your makeup. But if you're outdoors all day and you have a full face on, the powder sunscreen is a really nice way to reapply without.
And if you're a part of our membership program, you get 10% off.
There you go. But with the, is it mineral based or the powder?
It's a
mineral?
Yes, I think so.
It's a mineral. Which is, so for here, it's important for us to, we carry both versions. I think some people like the texture and the way that the chemical based feels as it goes on. It's sometimes more silky. It doesn't feel as thick or pasty as some of the chalky that people will describe from some of the mineral based. But we really don't use that a lot after ablative procedures. So it's important if you're getting procedures that you kind of talk to your provider about what you're going to use afterwards, because sun protection is one of the most important things after we do any kind of ablative procedure. We want it used daily for a number of reasons, but after ablative procedures especially, and we can apply the mineral-based ones for the most part after ablative procedures, unless it's mixed with something else, whereas a lot of the chemical-based can irritate the skin or burn after that. And so typically we go with the mineral-based after ablative procedures. Like I said, we carry both because some people prefer a texture of one over the other. Talking about makeup, why can't we just use makeup with SPF in it?
Well, you can, but then the reapplication is still true. It's only going to last you.
Yeah. And I think, you know, from probably at least what I know about people putting makeup on, they don't put it in all the areas that we need sunscreen. And they may not put enough of it, right? They put a little bit on their cheeks, a little bit here and there. And so they're not putting it all over. So I still think it's important to incorporate a daily sunscreen into like their routine. Maybe put that on first and then put the makeup on. So it's like they kind of have that protection there, that base there. What else? What are some myths about sunscreen, you think? Does it expire? Did we talk about that?
You asked me if sunscreen expired, but I thought you were just wanting to know.
I know it has an expiration date on it, but it's one of those things like, does it really expire? Now, you know, with like food, I'm big on it. Like if there's anything.
Food doesn't expire.
Yeah. Jerry will say it's in a can. It never expires. And I'm like going through.
This morning, he gets his potatoes from his garden and keeps them in a cardboard box in the garage. And he has potatoes for the year. And I didn't know that.
They taste the same, don't they?
He's like, I
won't eat them now that I know.
And onions, like onions, you just spread them out. They last for a really long time.
No.
Especially the ones that are
grown. But like canned food, if it has an expiration date on it, like it's getting thrown away. He's like, nope, that's not bad. It's a hot sauce. It doesn't go bad. I'm like.
Those English peas are good for years.
You know, canned things, the expiration date does go way past what's listed on the cans.
No. I did try to get to look up some things on sunscreen, and the ingredients will degrade over time, and heat may cause it to degrade faster. So some people think like I put it on and it didn't work, but they're leaving it in their beach bags or their cars where it's getting really hot. And so it will not.
So we should put it in our coolers at the beach.
Probably. But then I don't like cold spray on me. And I probably shouldn't use.
That'd probably feel nice if you were getting some sun.
I don't like cold.
You wouldn't like that.
You saw me at the beach. I didn't like getting in the cold water. None of you thought it was cold. I thought it was freezing. It was like ice water.
I think probably like doing this, the thing that surprised me the most was like the melanoma diagnosis make up 75% of all cancer diagnosis. Mm-hmm. So that tells you like that's a huge number.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it's really important for people to be getting their annual skin checks with their dermatologist or primary care. Certainly, if we see anything abnormal, we always refer them right away to the dermatologist. And so anything that looks suspicious, we do want to encourage people to go look. We should put some things up on our YouTube channel with this episode, Sierra, about melanoma awareness. I think that's a really good thing that we need to put up some pictures. What does some things look like? And if you see anything that looks like that, irregular borders, dark coloration, uneven coloration.
And something new, like we just saw one of our beautiful patients yesterday that's been a patient of ours for a long, long time. And she literally had like a dot on the end of her nose. And she'd had it for a while and finally went for like a skin check, not really even concerned about necessarily that spot. And she ended up with Mohs surgery, skin graft to the tip of her nose, and is going to have a really great result. This local surgeon did, but it's still like very scary when you see what the process she's had to go through.
And luckily, you know, it'd been there for a little while, but luckily she did catch it early enough that there's a lot of normal tissue around it, and it'll be a small scar in the long run versus letting it go for a long time. So yeah, if you have any of those, use sunscreen. You heard us all talk about how we don't really love it. We love a tan. We love a tanning bed. But over time, we've got wiser, older and wiser. I hate the older part. I guess with the older comes wiser, hopefully. And I think from being in this industry for a long time, we see that contrary to what we thought early on, no matter what we try, we can't really get the same results, the same aesthetic results for people who continue to tan. And so do everything you can to protect your skin, not just for the longevity of that youthful glow, that nice elastic look, but also for cancer prevention. A lot of good options out there. We have tons here at Skin and Tonic. I'm sure in your local communities and your local med spas, you have lots of options for sunscreen. Chemical based, make sure you apply it 20 to 30 minutes beforehand. Mineral works right away, so that kind of, you don't have to worry about that pre-application before sun exposure, and reapply frequently. Mm-hmm. Thank you guys so much for tuning in for another episode of Beauty in the Brain. We look forward to seeing you next week.
See you soon.
Bye.